Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
Today I'm going to be talking about what I call Thanksgiving, the believer's response. Thanksgiving, the believer's response. Can we say that together? Thanksgiving, the believer's response. We take a text from Psalms chapter 116 and verse 1. Psalms 116 and verse 1. Thank you. That's fine. I don't know who authored the book of Psalms 116. There's some parts of the psalm that was written by David. But this particular psalm, I'm not really sure who did. But whoever wrote this psalm must have gone through difficult times. Because if you see the context to which the psalm was written, you see a lot of the travail of this man and the journey the man went through. So the psalm is divided into two parts. The first part is the goodness and the kindness of God. And the second part is the psalmist's response to what God did for him. So the first part is what God did for the man. And the second part is how the man responds to what God had done for him. So Psalms chapter 116 verse 1. Let's see what God has done for him. There are three things that I picked out. Verse 1 says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. I want you to understand that in the days the psalmist wrote this psalm, it was a big deal for God to hear someone. It wasn't natural for God to hear people because Christ had not yet come. The sacrifice for sin was not yet sacrificed or slaughtered on the ultimate brazen altar, which is the cross. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29 specifically says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. So it therefore means that anyone who has sin cannot be heard from God or by God. You have to be righteous for God to hear you. Your ways have to be right for God to hear you. Now, this was the case in the Old Testament. So the psalmist who was in the Old Testament knew what he was saying when he said, I love the Lord because he heard me. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 to 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, which is your sins, have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So the common thing is that God doesn't hear people who have sin in their lives. Standard. Psalm 17 and verse 1, David cries to God and he pleads, please, God, hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. David is saying, God, please hear my prayer. Before I even tell you what the prayer point is, first hear the prayer. Because he knows God doesn't hear the prayer of a sinful man. That's the message of David. And he also emphasizes that his lips are deceitful. What he says is not consistent. He doesn't know how to speak rightly to God. So he's saying, God, please hear my prayer. There's a song that says, when my heart is overwhelmed, please lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I think that psalm begins with, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayers. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto you. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. But there was a contrast to this thought in the New Testament where you see in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So sometimes you're about to pray, but you don't know how to pray. You don't know what to say. You don't know how to say it right before God. But we thank God in this dispensation, not like in the times of the old. God hears us when we pray. Am I talking to people here? God listens to you when you pray. God, He knows your voice. He acknowledges your sound, that when you come before Him, He is obligated to answer you, as against the case of the Old Testament people. Let's see the Message version of Romans 8 and verse 26. It says, meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. Who believes that God's Spirit is with him? Oh, if you believe, say, I believe it. I. All right, if we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. So it's kind of different in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you must be sure of what you're saying before God. But in the New Testament, even if you don't know what you're saying, he's saying here, it doesn't matter. He says, he does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. So he makes a prayer from your sighs. You know what a sigh is? That thing you do when you are probably overwhelmed and you just... The Bible says that the Holy Spirit turns your sighs into prayers. These are inexpressible words that cannot be spoken in English or Igbo or Yoruba. But they are expressions of frustrations. They are sighs. I was asking them in the first service, what's the Nigerian version of sigh? Let me say this right. What's the Nigerian version of help me? There's chai. There is omo. No, omo is a word. Isn't omo a word? Omo is a, I mean, yeah, hey. Hi. Nna is something in Igbo. Sometimes even your, do you know that's your, now, wow. Do you know God, the Holy Spirit uses that as a prayer. And he, because you don't need to say everything because you are God's child. He turns your sighs and your groans to prayers. What a blessing we have in the New Testament. Oh my God. Ah. Or someone just looks up and they say, God, I beg. God, I beg. That's one of my favorites. You look up, you say, God, I beg. What's the name of that guy? Anyways, says, God, I beg. And you say, God, I beg. And the Holy Spirit, angelic activity begins to palm everybody in place just because you said, God, I beg. Or somebody just said, God, help me. Now, these ones are even word expressed. Talk less of the ones that are sighs. And even the tears, he knows how to turn your tears into languages understood in the Spirit. What a good God we have. You know why? Because God is a master communicator. He doesn't want you to not be able to communicate to him at some point in your life. That you are able to say something to him. So, this psalmist says, I thank God because he always hears me. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. If you have the Message version, it will be good. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, and how bold and free we then become in his presence. Freely asking according to his will, sure that he's listening. That is, you are asking God, and you are so sure God is hearing your prayer. Now, there are a lot of people in the body of Christ who don't believe God hears them. They believe God hears those who are preachers and pastors. Can I tell you something? The word of God in your mouth is as powerful as the word of God in Jesus' mouth. Are you with me, somebody? Yeah. So never think that some people's prayers are faster than yours. You have a mental picture of someone like Pastor Adeboye, Bishop Oyedepo, Pastor Kumuyi, Odukoya, Olukoya, their prayers are stronger. Say, Pastor, you go need to pray for me because your own prayer go walk first. It go walk past. Can I tell you something? Your prayer works and is heard as much as any other person. The Bible says that we are sure he's listening. It's a blessing we have in the new covenant. Now, I don't have a problem with people praying for you. There's nothing wrong with that. There is no problem when people agree with you. But it is a problem when you think people will pray for you or can pray for you to a degree that you can't be heard. There are times where you need someone to just encourage you and be there, hold hands with you. That's okay. But never think your prayer can never be answered. Never think so. So say with me, say, I'm thankful to God because he hears me. Oh, that's not all of us. Say, I'm thankful because God hears me. John chapter 16 and verse 24. John 16 and verse 24. Until now, Jesus says to his disciples, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask. Let's read it together so I can engage all of you. One, two, go. And you will receive. That's your joy. Who wants to experience full joy here now? Okay, let's read the next verse. Verse 25. One, two, go. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. So let's know about the Father. Next verse. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. Next verse. Woo! Because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. So Jesus is saying to the disciples, a time is going to come where I will not need to pray to the Father for you. That you'll be able to pray to the Father by yourself. What a blessing. What a blessing we have in the New Testament. That we can talk to God just as easy and as much as Jesus is able to talk to God. So he says that you pray in the name of Jesus. And let me say something. To pray in the name of Jesus does not mean to mention Jesus in the prayer all the time. Praying in the name of Jesus does not always mean saying in Jesus' name. When you say in Jesus' name we pray, that is not what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. To pray in the name of Jesus means to pray as though Jesus was the one praying. Do you get me? Are you sure you get me? If I send Francis somewhere, maybe I'm invited somewhere, I say, go represent me somewhere. If there's a reception prepared for me, he will be given the same reception prepared for me because I sent him. So it means that he's not going in his name, but he's going in my name. So whatever was packaged for Pastor Phil has to be packaged for Francis. So he's receiving it not in Francis's name, but in Pastor Phil's name. So that's what it means. When you pray in the name of Jesus, you come as though Jesus was the one coming. God is obligated to hear you because it's as though he's seen his son. So when you say, Abba, Father, it is as if Jesus is the one saying, Abba, Father. When you say, Lord, I need help right now, it's as though Jesus is the one saying, God, I need help. So God is obligated to hear my prayer. And you need to have this confidence. I think it will help you. So that when you know you go on your knees to pray to God, you know God hears your prayer. So say with me, say, God hears my prayer. Praise God. A lot of people don't believe God hears them. But listen, God hears your prayer. Why does he hear your prayer? Because you put faith in Christ and you believe in Jesus. Somebody say amen. The second reason why this guy was thankful is because God rescued him. Psalms, back to our original text, Psalms 116, verse 3, says, the pains of death surrounded me and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. In fact, this is the story of many of our lives, practically speaking. God hears us. We enter into palaver and God blesses us. is either of these three. Many times we are in this. Who has been in a situation where if God did not deliver you, you would have been finished? Who's been there before? All right. Now there's some of us who could have been dead. But God, he said normally, but God stepped in right in on time. That's why the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord, what? Delivers them from all of it. What a good God we serve, who knows how to step in right on time. The Bible says that he's the present help in the time of trouble. Psalms 46 and verse 1 says, the Lord is our refuge and strength. He's the present help in the time of trouble. Let's see the next verse. Psalms 46 and verse 1. Psalms 46 and verse 1. Next verse. Verse 2, it says, therefore we will not fear. That's why you won't be afraid in 2024. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Oh my God. He says, God is with you. Next verse. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. It says, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Next verse. God is in the midst. So he's saying, in the midst of all these problems, God is in your middle. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Do you know what I mean? Have you heard of the nick of time before? Where God steps in at the nick of time. And it looks like if he came a minute later, there would have been a problem. And you know what? I sense in my spirit, God is bringing deliverance to some people who may be in some stuff or the other. God is pulling you out. The Bible says he delivers you from the merry clay and he sets your feet on the rock to stay. What a good God we have. Who knows how to show up right on time? Can we just celebrate God for that fact in 10 seconds? That he knows how to show up just at the right time. He knows how to be there. Just as some of us is financial crisis. Some of us it is health challenges. Some of us it is what have you. You know, the economy is tearing down your economy. And you have no, there is nothing left for you to give. And you feel overwhelmed and overburdened. He says God helps you in your infirmity. That he knows how to pray you through. The Spirit makes intercessions with groanings which cannot be uttered. That you are not left without help in this life. Says you will never be confounded. You will not be moved. So therefore you won't be put to shame. Can I tell God's people today? Let me tell you. Some people are waiting to watch what will happen. But I'm telling you, God who is by your side will not leave you to be ashamed. For thou, O God, I will shield for me. You are my glory and the lifter of my head. You know, I see the picture of people who don't know what to, you know, you have nothing else to say. Because questions are all around you. People are asking, what is happening with this area? What is going on with you here? What's the matter with you here? But God is bringing deliverance. Oh my God. I talked about the people of the Old Testament who had all kinds of miracles. The Israelites. God delivered them from serious problem. They were in bondage for 400 years. And the moment God was about to show up to deliver them, he sends a man called Moses. And Moses delivers his people out. See, have you noticed that you may not be able to trace some financial sources, but God has kept you. The money you probably should be using for health bills, it's in your reserve, it's in your savings. You're not paying because one of your organs are failing. And we don't recognize these things that God is constantly working behind the scenes for us. If angels of God opened your eye to see some of the things you should have been given testimony for that did not happen because they averted, you'll be more grateful. Accidents that we did not meet. Disappointments that never saw the light of day. We thank God for those ones we don't know. Now, the people of Israel came out of Egypt and Pharaoh's army behind them, and there was the Red Sea in front of them. And Moses, how many of you are watching this series on Netflix? I saw that series. I think something about Moses. And then the Red Sea parts, and the people of Israel are walking on dry ground. Dry ground. You can imagine fishes and whales coming on two sides of the water walls. And the moment the last person leaves the dry ground, out of that place, the breath of God's nostrils shuts down the Red Sea to the point where it swallows Pharaoh and his entire army. It was a wonder to behold how God delivers you from your enemy. In fact, sandwiched between two problems. If you face here, there's problem. If you face here, there's problem. It's as if your life is called problem. But God is delivering you. Why? Because many are the afflictions. You don't hear what I'm saying. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers them. When the Lord turns the captivity of Zion, it was like a dream. I've seen people's lives turn. There was a guy, I knew this guy, 2006, in Port Harcourt. If I call his name, you know him. I saw this guy's life changed in 2 months. From a pauper. I mean pauper. If you see his shirt, then you know this guy is just really believing God. Nothing looked good. Nothing about him looked like it. And then in 2 months, there was something that happened. There was a turnaround. And all of a sudden, becomes a superstar. All of a sudden, blessed with connections and money and the largesse and the opulence of life. And I said to myself, really, when God turns the captivity of Zion, it's like a dream. Oh God. And I'm praying that God will shock someone who does not believe. Because as some of you, when you hear the word, you feel the word is for somebody else. Oh God. God is about to turn my life. I don't care what you've experienced. Because the people of the Old Testament saw miracles, they were still in doubt. I fear, I respect you. Wakoyo, I greet you. For you to see a lot from God and still be doubting. You know what it means when Miriam wrote a song. She said, who is like unto thee? The moment the sea is closed, right in front of the Red Sea, she begins to write the song. Who is like unto thee, O God? Among the gods, who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises. Where God does fearful things, dangerous things, you are glorious in your praise. You are fearful in your praise. You are doing wonders. You are terrible in your praise. Such God we serve. And in the wilderness, their shoes were growing on them. What miracles God did. That in the wilderness, he puts a pillar of cloud. And in the night, he puts a pillar of fire to give them warmth in the night. Imagine the person who came into the wilderness, a baby who was carried into the wilderness, was 2 years old. You know they spent about 40 years in the wilderness. When they were out of the wilderness, that person who was 2 years old would be 42. And a two-year-old child had his clothes on, growing on him until he became 42. Because how would you make new clothes in the wilderness? But God did miracles that their shoes were growing on them. Their clothes were growing on them. That there was daily manna falling from heaven. Just imagine, you think about it, you are in your room and you have bed in breakfast. Breakfast in bed. Bed in breakfast. You have breakfast in bed every day for 12 years. And then you go take a nap and you come back. You have lunch in bed. And I'm not talking about two small miserable meats. I'm talking about when you look at the food, you know that it's not a response to hunger. It's you are feasting. You know, there's a difference between eating and feasting. It's different. God did miracles. So God knows how to bring people out. And number three, in verse 12 of Psalms 116, the psalmist thanks God for his bountifulness. Oh, hallelujah. Woof. In verse 7, 116 and verse 7, Psalms 116 and verse 7 says, return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt what? Whose story is that? If you're not saying it, I don't know if you really mean it. The Lord has dealt what? Bountifully with whom? With me. There's some of you, God has blessed you. You don't look like where you're coming from. You were in the fire, but you don't smell smoke. You were in the water, but it didn't seem like you drowned. You're on the mountain and it doesn't feel like your feet is hurt. In fact, he put butter and wine on your feet. It's as if God was, he was really a present help in a time of trouble. And if some of you come and share your story, the people who are sitting around you will not believe you. Because you don't look like it. Oh, but I thank God because he makes those who seem to be nothing look like something. You know, I see people who are coming from the back and they're overtaken. What did David say? He said to God, should I overtake paths? Should I recover? He says, yes, overtake, recover, because you can do it. There are people who don't look like it, but you would be it. Let me tell you one of the things God did for TSP. He blessed us with an illusion at first. We didn't look like it. We didn't look like it. It looked like we were so blessed. We had all the money. But sometimes if I told you what TSP had in its reserves, it will shock you because it was really nothing. Sometimes it doesn't look like it. Sometimes you wear your cologne, you wear your makeup, you put your fine hairdo and your nice bone straight. Straight bone. Straight bone. Straight bone. Which one? I got it! You put your nice bone straight. And nobody knows how you're really feeling inside. You know that thing where you cry alone and you know how to smile in the public? There are so many people who know how to do that thing. They know how to blend the two. But weeping may endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning. For he has delivered us from the merry clay, set our feet on the rock to say. I came to tell you this morning, ego better. Yes. Give your neighbor a high five and say, he has dealt with you bountifully. There's some of you, God has really blessed you. Really blessed you. Look back and say, thank you. You know, if you look at the old pictures of TSP when we started, 2015, there are some people who joined church 8 years ago. Kenna. Where's Kenna? Okay, she was here in the first service. I use that as an example. Kenna was this, she was like this pole. She was like my microphone. Her one hand is like my microphone. If you see Kenna, Tini Bekun. If you see Pastor Finn, I was looking like, you know when the Bible says, in terrible things and in your wilderness, I'm with you. I look like wilderness. But I look at some of us, we have changed. You're looking better now. Your cheeks are a bit out now. You see what I'm saying? Some of you look like you were, you know. If you see Pastor Paul then. Pastor Paul looked like, not Abido Shaker. Pastor Paul looked like Panda. You know Panda, that cartoon. You know what I'm saying, Pastor Paul. Pastor Paul looked like onions. It was like round. But see how God has blessed him. Got married in this church. Pastor Chibuzo was like today's bread. Then. But see how God has blessed him. Pastor Victor was like burnt offering. You know, Pastor Victor is my wife was not here, so she has escaped that. Oh my God. But God is good. How many of you believe God is good? So these are all the things that God did for the psalmist. What is his response? Look at verse 12. Verse 12 of 116. I'm closing. Verse 12 of 116. We're going to take time to dance. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? The same guy is talking. God heard me. I had problems and he had dealt with me bountifully. Then the next thing he says, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. It's interesting how this guy speaks into the new covenant. He says, you know what? I know God gave me a car. I know God gave me a good house. God gave me a wife. God gave me children. But the first thing I want to thank God for is my salvation. That my sins are forgiven. That I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I thank God for my salvation. I will lift up the cup of my salvation. I said this to some people in the first service. Anything that doesn't matter to you in 60 years is secondary. Think about it. I don't know how old you are, but add 60 to your years. If it doesn't matter to you in 70 years, 60 years, it's secondary. The most important thing is the life we have after this life. Because everyone who is born is sentenced to a perpetual life. Either it is eternal life or life in damnation. But the one we thank God for, you ask yourself, how old are you today? Do you remember when you were 3, when you were 5? Time is going. By the grace of God, I'll be 40 this year. Be celebrating my 40th birthday. And I look at my life and I see how God has brought me a mighty long way. Some of you are over 40. Some of you are just a little bit under 40. Some of you are 30 in your 30s. But if you think about it, you were just 16 some years ago. And before you know it, that's how 60 will come. 70 will come. But guess what? 70 will meet you standing strong, happy and fulfilled, blessed and rejoicing, without no regrets in life. You are one who looks back to say, I thank God because I was poured out as a drink offering. Somebody said, that's my life. Oh, yes. Blessed be the God. He says, I will lift up the cup of my salvation. And after all this time is past, we thank God because we have eternal life. Then look at the next verse, verse 14. Then he says, I will pay my vows to the Lord. Now, in the presence of all these people. So apart from thanking him for salvation, I'm going to pay my vows. What are his vows? My obligations to God. I'm going to pay my obligations to God in the presence of all his people. It might be in the form of money. It might be in the form of your time or your life or your service to God. But there is an obligation you have to God. And you see, people must be grateful this way. Because there is no honor that doesn't demonstrate. If you say it's honor, it must show something. You honor the Lord with your substance. You honor the Lord with something, with your time, with your body, with your life. You honor the Lord with something. So it says, my obligation, I will meet before the Lord. And finally, this week and for the rest of your life, no complaining. No what? No complaining. Tell your neighbor, don't complain. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Last scripture for today. Philippians 2 and verse 12. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Next verse. For it is God who what? Works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let's read the next verse together. Do all things without complaining and... So tell 3 people around you, do all things without complaining. Come on, tell another person, do all things without complaining. Key word, what is the key word? Key word here is all things. Somebody say all things. Some of you know how to do some things without complaining. But some of you know how to do some other things with complaining. In fact, there are some of you who will complain when there's nothing to complain about. It's just natural in your doing. So why is this thing like this? Why is this thing correct? It should be wrong. Why is this thing blue? Okay, what do you want? We want it white. It's white. Why is this thing white? I think I prefer in between white and blue. It's just natural for some people to complain. Tell your neighbor, no more complaining. Wave your hands and say, I will not complain. Do me a favor. Throughout this week, no complaining. Can you do it? Say to me, say, I will try. I am helped by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just when you are about to open your mouth to complain, turn it into a praise. And say, Lord, thank you because I have all things in Christ. When there is no food on your table, thank you because all my needs are met. When there is no money in your pocket, thank you because I lend to nations. When it feels like your body is down, instead of complaining, speak to your body. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Look at your neighbor and say, no complaining, no complaining. No murmuring, no murmuring. No whining. Now tell yourself, I will not whine. Wave your hands and say, I will not complain, but I will give God thanks. How many praises do I have in this house this morning? Lift your voices and begin to bless God. Now, wave your hands and thank God because all that you have in Christ is done, is accomplished. For all the promises of God in Christ, they are yes. And we say the amen. Now, let's give the Lord a shout of glory and praise and rejoicing and joy. We will not complain. In 2024, we will not complain. Woo! Hallelujah.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.